Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sade Speaks here on the PWE Empowerment Radio. Today we have an exciting and empowering guest that you do not want to miss. Stay tuned.
Dr. Owen is a much sought-after public speaker and facilitator whose personal mission is to motivate and inspire every person to succeed. Her speaking career began in 2004 as a faculty member with the University of Maryland at Baltimore. An expert on personal growth and trauma, she is dedicated to enriching the lives of others because she believes our Heavenly Father has created every person for a divine purpose, and each of us has the potential to succeed beyond measure. As a result of her dedicated service to others, she has gained national recognition, respect, and attention to her thought-provoking and inspiring presentations. She has been featured in local and national media outlets. Her Good Success Movement blog and vlog are receiving tremendous audience praise. Her first book, The 30-Day Surrender Fast, published this year, is the guide for releasing your plan, renewing your mind, and restoring your life. In her spare time, she's actively involved in her local church and other organizations where she volunteers her time and talents generously. Dr. Celeste resides in the Washington metropolitan area, where her most important works are being wife to her husband of 10 years and mom to their two young children. Dr. Celeste, it's so good to have you here with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure. Now, if you can, tell us a little bit more about yourself, Dr. Celeste.
Yeah, what you read is pretty much who I am, essentially. But I'm also, just as you mentioned, too, I'm a psychologist. But one of the things that is different about what I do is that I don't provide any direct care. I particularly just use the skills that I learned as a psychologist to better inform people on how to live a life of success. So how to have a mindset to succeed, how to swap out the wrong beliefs with the right beliefs so that you're able to really live the life that you were meant to live and really succeed the way you are supposed to succeed. So I, you know, do a number of different things. I do seminars and workshops and keynote addresses. I write, like you mentioned. I had my first book, The 40-Day Surrender Fast, which came out in August. So I'm just having a great time and, you know, just enjoying life, really. So
wow,
that's what I'm up to.
Wow. Okay. Now, this 40-Day Surrender Fast, you mentioned it's a book. Is it like a, I mean, how does one go about, I guess, following this, your fast?
Sure. The fast is, again, the 40-Day Surrender Fast, and it's a devotional. So what you do is you surrender or you fast from something that has part of your heart. And what I mean by that is that there is a scripture in the Bible that says you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And he wants you to love him with all of your heart. So what you end up doing for a period of 40 days is you surrender something that shares part of your heart. And it can be any number of things. The people have been doing this fast since last year, so it's been at least a year in the making. Mm-hmm. And people have given up all sorts of things, Sade. They've given up TV, internet, food, different types of foods, cursing, chips. I mean, you name it. They give it up for 40 days, and the most amazing things happen. Day to day, they start to really see God operating in their lives. They start to really hear him as he transitions them to the next, you know, place in their life or next season in their lives. So, and there is not a day that goes by, I kid you not, since the book has been released, that I don't either get a phone call or email from someone saying, oh, my goodness, you will not believe what I found out today through this fast or what I've learned today. So it's so exciting watching people being able to change their mindset so they could just be right where they're supposed to be in their lives.
Wow, wow. Now, if you can for us, can you share a little bit with us about your journey to having a successful mindset?
Absolutely, absolutely. I was like probably most people, and I really equated success with the type of accomplishments I would have. You know, really for me, success was really more about accomplishment. So having said that, I went through school, you know, I always had this mindset that I was going to have a lot of education. So needless to say, I do have a lot of education now. Mm-hmm. I have 3 degrees. I have a bachelor's degree, I have a master's degree in psychology, and also have a doctorate degree in psychology. And
wow.
For me, it was always about accomplishments. And then it was always about milestones. That's what made me successful. You know, if I hit this certain milestone at this age, oh, I'm going to be a success. But you know the problem with that belief is that when you hit the milestone or the accomplishment that you wanted, there is like this short-lived amount of satisfaction. I mean, you get satisfaction for like 15 seconds, and then you're off to the next one. Because it's insatiable. You know, you always want the next thing. Oh, when I turn 16, I'm going to, you know, have that party. Or when I turn 18, I'm going to start college or get my license. But you never have a chance to really be content and enjoy because you're always thinking success means the next accomplishment. So I had to learn over time that really was not a satisfying way to live. And what really started to change my mindset about success was probably a couple years ago. One thing that changed my mind about it, even many years before that, I was working in inner city Baltimore, and I started to realize that if I defined success the way I had been defining it, I was going to be unsuccessful at working with the youth that I was working with in those inner city schools, because success to them wasn't going to look the same way it was going to look to me. So that started to change my mind about what it would look like. Yeah. And then over time, God has really been working on me on redefining success in that way. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey in redefining it for myself, too.
I was reading this book, and I actually forgot the title of the book. I think that's really helpful, huh? But in the book, it was just talking about how, you know, what you're talking about and how we define success and so forth. And the writer of the book was talking about that she began to redefine it for herself and thought to herself, well, you know, maybe I should work on being a better person. Like, am I a trustworthy friend? You know, am I someone that people can trust? And it just really changed the way I thought about success and my goals and so forth, you know, because I'm just, again, just reaching out to these sort of insatiable goals and so forth, and just sort of mowing over things and mowing over people to get to this particular goal. And it's not sustainable, you know, it's that mindset sometimes. So I appreciate that. Now, here's the question. How do you go about obtaining that mindset? I mean, how do you go from sort of this insatiable goal-oriented type A behavior to what you just shared?
Sure, absolutely. Well, if you're anything like me, you learn a new mindset because God just sits you down. For me, it was just, you know, there was a season when God just decided that enough was enough and just kindly asked me to stop doing all the things I had been doing. And that was in a period of, in 2009, I had really felt unctioning really to stop doing some of the things I had been doing. I was in private practice at that time, and I really felt God leading me to close the private practice and to come home. And then when I closed the private practice, it was that was in 2009, I closed it. Then all of a sudden it started coming to me and leave this organization and stop leading that ministry and stop leading. I mean, everything started shut down for me. So by the end of 2009, I had stopped doing everything that brought me a sense of satisfaction. And I felt so lost because remember all that time I had been defining success by these accomplishments and, you know, things I had obtained. And by 2010, the beginning of 2010, I was sitting home with two children and really not knowing what that was. You know, what is this? Is this success, just to be home? I don't get it. I don't understand. So I started, and that was the year really that definitive for me when I really started to understand success was none of the things I had thought for so long. Those are certainly some wonderful accomplishments, but if I define success by those things, when they're gone, what am I? You know, I'm a be nothing. So I really had to go about defining what success really is. And what I have figured out, one of the things I say often is that success is doing what you were put on this earth to do. But really, that's a byproduct of having the right mindset. When you have the right mindset, you do what you were put on this earth to do. But really, in its purest form, success is knowing the truth and living it. Success really is knowing the truth and living it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, say that again for me, please.
Yeah.
Say that
to
again.
Me,
I really want to get that down.
Yeah, and I'll explain what I mean too. But to me, success is knowing the truth and living it. The truth is when you know who you are, and particularly when you know who you are in God, that becomes your truth, and you live that truth. You live that truth.
Wow.
So if you know that, you know, these are the things that I'm supposed to be doing, I can't define myself based on what someone else is doing. You know, if my truth is I have, you know, if my truth is that God's not going to send me back to school to get more education and that I'm going to use what I have to, you know, to help other people and to serve other, whatever that is, then I can't keep looking across the gate at the other person who has 4 and 5 degrees and longing to be more like them, because I'm not going to live my life the way I'm supposed to live it. So
yeah.
Really knowing the truth. And the truth is I was made for a specific purpose. I was thought about long before I was really born. I was created for greatness. All of those are truths. And when we embrace that in our spirits, then we really can live the way we were designed to live, or you know, have the life that we were designed to have.
Sure. I mean, so now, what do you think is holding some back from having that mindset? I mean, is it our parents? I mean, our, you know, our very well-meaning parents, of course. And I mean, what's holding us back?
You know what? There are so many things. It's interesting. As children, we don't realize, or maybe sometimes we do realize, that there are so many things that we learn that sometimes are helpful and other times are not helpful. But what we end up doing as children is we're just these wonderful blank slates who end up learning how to engage ourselves and the world based on what people have told us. And those become our truths. So that's what I was telling you, knowing the truth. The things that we have embraced as truth many times are not the truth, but we've embraced them. This is who I am.
Wow.
This is how I engage the world. So, you know, if we grew up in a household that valued, say, accomplishments and success, then we start to think that we are those things and we strive to get them because we think that's who our true identity is when it really is not. So then it becomes, wow, you know, was that not the truth? Was that not who I really am? And then you have to go about identifying what the things that you believe that weren't the truth and swapping those with the truth. And it's just a process. It really is a process of, you know, living. Sometimes people, you know, as you live and you interact with other people, you start to learn more of what the truth is. It's about knowing God's word and being in God's word. Sometimes it's about going into therapy and getting a wonderful counselor who can walk you through some of the beliefs that you have and, you know, start to discredit the ones that aren't the truth. So there are a number of ways to go about swapping the wrong beliefs, but it really becomes, I have to become aware of what the wrong beliefs are. What have I believed all this time?
Now,
Sure,
and thank you for that. Now, for some who may hear that and say, well, now, does that mean I shouldn't pursue education? Or, I mean, how do you balance those things out?
Yeah, you know what? You said the perfect word, balance. You have to balance. And, you know, one of the ways in which I gauge if I'm heading in the right direction is if I get a thought, and, you know, we're creative people. We were born to be creative. So we get lots of thoughts and lots of good ideas. But the way I can engage if a good idea is really a God idea for me is if I have peace about it, one, and two, as I engage the world, if doors start to open. If I am constantly hitting a wall or a shut door over and over, you know, maybe one time, okay, I'm not going to give up. You know, you have some perseverance. But if I'm constantly getting a shut door, then I have to start to think, maybe that's not the door I'm supposed to go through. I know a young woman who has wanted to have, like we're using an example, education. She's wanted to have an advanced degree for some time. But it seems like every time she goes about to get it done, it just doesn't happen. You know, the first time she goes, she gets pregnant. The second time she goes, something happens with her financial aid. And the third time, you know, after a while, I'm like, wait a minute. We're on the fourth or fifth time. Maybe you're wasting your time.
Wow.
Maybe it's not a no, but maybe it's a not right now. So
Absolutely.
Maybe you need to, you know, engage your environment in a different way. So, and, you know, sometimes we're so bent on this is what I need, this is what I have to have, that we don't even realize how many closed doors we have come up against until somebody says it, like, wait a minute, do you think maybe you're going the wrong direction? Oh, okay.
So true.
So, yeah.
I mean, I had to embrace that a while ago. I was just involved in a particular, you know, activity and so forth, some business activities. And I recall the idea of just, you know what, letting go of, well, when I get to the so-and-so, you know, well, when I get this opportunity, I'll be able to do so-and-so. And I had to release that sort of when I get to that point, because it was robbing me of just the present moment, you know. And so it was difficult because I had to let some things go, literally.
And,
you know, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you offer the listeners some strategies? I mean, some practical things. I mean, so for that young lady you mentioned about the school, or if it's a particular career or and so forth, I mean, what are some things, I mean, some tips or techniques that you can share with us?
Mm-hmm. How to
go about releasing some of those things. In other words.
Oh, gotcha.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things is to really be aware, to try to be. You know, there's so many things that are really just. Sometimes we just operate on autopilot, and we just don't even really know sometimes what we believe. We have to really slow down. There are so many cultures who do such a much better job than we do here in Western society of slowing down and really, you know, appreciating the moment and understanding what you believe and your thoughts. Because, again, when we don't know what we believe, we really operate on autopilot. So let me go back to the example I used with the young lady who was pursuing school. So we're talking, and, you know, again, she's had shut door after shut door over and over again. And then I finally said, so why do you need the degree? And she's like, because, you know, everybody needs a degree. If you're going to get a good job, you know, that's always the acceptable answer. You're going to get a good job, you need to have a degree. I said, so you wouldn't get a good job without a degree? You know, then you have to poke holes in people's theory. But this person has a job, and, you know, they don't have it, and they, this person, and, oh, well, yeah, but I just want it. Okay, so why? Yeah. Why do you really want it? And then finally, you know what we get to? Well, in third grade, I overheard my teacher telling my parents that I would never amount to anything, that I was not smart, and that I would be a bagger or something like that in a grocery store, and they should just, you know, reside in my state. Pretty much that was essentially the conversation.
Yeah.
They didn't know she was listening. She was at the door. She heard it. So then all of a sudden, it became in her little head, that little age, that she, you know, they think I'm dumb. I don't ever want anybody to ever know that I'm dumb. So as an adult, it becomes, if I have degrees, no one ever think I'm dumb. So when we got
that,
she's like, oh, my goodness, isn't that right? So that wrong belief that I'm dumb or I'm, you know, can't achieve drove her to, you know, trying to access something that wasn't even a part of God's plan for her right now. You know, maybe later, but, you know, her motivation was wrong. So once she realized that, this is years later, and I still talk to her, and she's at peace. Her life is going well. She doesn't have another degree, no.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any degrees. I'm talking about another degree. She has a high school diploma, no degrees yet. She did go ahead and get a certification, which, again, we're talking about open doors. She goes ahead and she decides that she wanted to do the certification, and boom, she gets it. She gets in. They pay for the certification. She was the top student in the class, not one of the top student in the class.
Wow.
So it was so phenomenal to see her go through that process, and that was it. So really, to answer your question, just practically slow yourself down and start and just even start to journal, why is this particular goal important to me? And, and you know, why haven't I been able to accomplish it? Is it just that I need to persist, or is it a closed door? You know, those kind of conversations that you have with you, a pen and a journal.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a close friend or someone else, or in prayer or meditation, whatever it is, just slowing down to understand what you believe.
That is so interesting. I mean, for so many of us, including myself, that slowing down and getting quiet can be very challenging. I mean, very, very challenging because you have so many activities. And it's funny you mentioned all the various things you were doing and heading up and so forth in our church and even in the community. I had to do some, you know, very similar things. I was involved with a committee down at City Hall. I was involved, in a very, awesome art organization at the time, and had, you know, sort of went up the ranks and so forth. But just, I was out of the house Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and I said, oh my gosh, I mean, when am I ever home in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't, you know, giving myself the opportunity to actually rest. And it was like it went on from one thing to the next. And I slowly but surely had to just, you know, kindly, lovingly step down, resign, and so forth from these various these various positions. And I'm telling you, it has made a big difference. And now I can actually focus and have that time. I mean, of course, my schedule is still pretty busy, but, you know, there's a connection, and I definitely feel, me getting my stride. You know, there's traction being made, in other words, and I'm not just here and there and everywhere. And just feeling these voids, like, well, why am I doing all this? I mean, yeah, they're good things. They're not evil. They aren't harming anybody.
Exactly.
Am I supposed to be doing this right now? You know?
Exactly. Am I supposed to be doing this right now? And you know, all those are. That's a great question. And you brought up the word busy, which I talk about this a lot in a blog, some of my blogs. How I just, you know, don't identify with that word any longer because it's almost as a badge of honor for a lot of people. Oh, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm busy, busy, busy. And I'm like, oh, give me a break. And you know what? And I talk about even in the 40-day surrender fast. I talk about how there's a difference between busy and productive. And I certainly don't want to live the rest of my life ever being busy again. I want to be productive. So see how when you released some of the obligations that you had that were good were good things to do, you know,
absolutely,
that when you released them, then you opened yourself up to do some of the other things that will be more productive for you, like a
big
radio
time.
Show.
Big time. Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has made the biggest difference, and I'm so relieved. And like I said, everything is just sort of coming into focus. You know, so that's what I find has really helped me in that regard. And now, what kind of upcoming projects do you have underway? You mentioned your vlogs and so forth, and even with the journal, but what are some other things you may have underway?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a number of different things coming up, and rather than go through all the events that I have coming up, your listeners are welcome to check out my website, which is drcelesteowens.com, and I have an events section there so they can look and see some of the things that are coming up. Doing a bunch of things, some things with women's organizations. I have a prayer breakfast coming up. I'm doing a retreat. So people are welcome again to go to drcelesteowens.com and look at that. One of the things I'm really excited about is I'm soon going to be partnering with a group out of the Midwest to do to host, I guess you could say, the Surrender Fast. So there's going to be a bunch of people out that way who are getting together, and we're going to all, again, partner, and we're going to do what I'm calling Surrender 2012. And we're all going to get together, do the Surrender Fast starting January 2nd. I'm going to blog it on their site and as well as my site, and then also do a series of probably webinars and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of people in this area already signed up to do it. There's some churches in Buffalo who aren't interested. I'm originally from Buffalo. That's why I bring up Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that people can check out. That the website for the Surrender Fast is just that, surrenderfast.com. And it's very soon I'm going to put up that information on how people could be a part of that, a part of Surrender 2012. So we want people to really.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Shade. Oh, no, I'm just really excited about people being able to, you know, surrender some of those things so that 2012 becomes some of our best, you know, we're able to live our best lives in 2012 and really be focused and balanced. So that's really the goal.
Wow, that's awesome. And where can people buy your book?
Oh, any number of places. First of all, you can buy it on my site, and that's surrenderfast.com. It's also at Barnes & Noble online. Amazon online. It's in every ebook format. Sorry, iPad, Kindle. What are all the rest of them? All the rest of them. All the ebooks.
Okay.
Format.
Awesome.
People can pick it up.
Wow. And I'm just going to share a few things with us. Now, here are a few keys, everybody, that has helped me just have a successful mindset. Your beliefs are holding you either up or down. They are the building blocks of your life, the foundations of our success. We are conditioned since childhood to believe certain things. Don't do this, don't do that, don't make a fool of yourself, don't take risk. That by the time we reach adulthood, we have been programmed to think and act in a certain way. Okay, so don't limit your thinking. We've all heard it before, to think outside the box, right? Well, I'll add to that and say, go ahead and break the mold by being yourself. Nobody can beat you at being you. Don't dwell on past failures. Look at them as steps to where you want to go. The best lessons in life come from our failures, not our wins. And remember to turn your negative experiences into positive outcomes. Make your challenges opportunities for growth. Be passionate about what you do. Nothing is worse than having a passion and not let that passion take shape and shine. If you know that you were born to be successful, then you literally and actively have to know that you will be successful, but also take the action steps towards it. So these things have really, really helped me. And remember, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Remember, it's not only the destination, it's also the journey. Be encouraged and stay on track to your success. Once again, thank you, Dr. Celeste, for sharing with us. We really appreciate
it. Yes, absolutely.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Wasn't that a great show? I know that you were empowered, informed, and inspired all at the same time. So for more shows like this, be sure to tune in next Thursday at 11 o'clock for more of Sade Speaks. So until next time, be fabulous, be extraordinary in all that you do, and I'll see you next week.